Hey everyone, and welcome to The Reform Way. I am Corey Smith alongside Eric Connor and Peter Pohl. Each week we will bring you interviews, insights, and share our knowledge of the fitness world. We'll look at topics both in and out of the gym through the lens of an exercise enthusiast, a CrossFit coach, and a gym owner. Also, be sure to like and subscribe to stay up to date with our most current episodes.
Hey guys, this is Eric Connor, and I am here with The Reform Way. I am joined by some of our expert coaches from different fields. Mr. Corey Smith, executive producer.
Hello, everybody.
From his beautiful, beautiful apartment. And Ms. Jolene Mielke, our nutrition coach extraordinaire. From
hey guys.
Somewhere awesome on her phone. Yes, we're coming at you guys live via Zoom for the podcast, as well as on Facebook Live as well. So what we're going to go over today, guys, we're going to use a nutrition topic. We're going to go over a good nutrition topic focus here, which are the three best ways to limit weight gain. So times like these, a little bit different. Again, a lot of people being at home or not out and about all the time. So we want to make sure we're staying very much on top of staying healthy. limiting our weight gain, fat gain issues there, and all those kind of things. So we have three big talking points as to how to best limit that. Jolene, overall, we can go over the first topic in just a sec, but any overall thoughts with different times now or kind of what we're talking about here?
Yeah, I would say mostly I would think eating can get a little bit out of control during these times because people are eating out of boredom, not having their normal daily routines, having food around all the time, and maybe just eating things they normally wouldn't because it's just sitting right there.
Good point. And I imagine you're potentially seeing this from some clients that you work with now.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Common feedbacks, boredom, lack of structure, wanting to snack a lot.
Okay. So we'll go over that and we'll actually talk about some of the things that may work for us personally as well as things that are challenging for us. If you guys got any other helpful things that we could kind of utilize to go over or something like that, you feel free, if you're able to watch this or listen in, that you can comment here and we can try to get to those either now or at a future date. So number one of our three things to limit weight gain, number one is being active, right? Joe, you want to start with that, with being active?
That plays a huge role because I don't know if people realize how much they're active during the day, even when they're not thinking about it. And now we're sitting at home a lot. So even though people are working out, and I think it's great that everyone's hopping on Zoom to do our normal workouts, if you're just doing that 30 or 45 minute workout a day, but then you're sitting the rest of the day, you're kind of not utilizing what you could. It's important to keep active throughout the day, even though it may not seem like a big deal. Getting those daily steps in and keeping that body going throughout the day and not just sitting stagnant, I think is what's hurting people a lot right now.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize that, like, walking up and down your stairs or going to, like, you know, walking somewhere, driving somewhere, going up and down places, things that you may do in your everyday, like, work life is calories being expended or calories being burned. And while it may not be as significant as sometimes like working out, it's still calories that we're needing and using. And all of a sudden we're not using those anymore. We're sitting a lot, we're not moving. So our calories needed every day definitely goes down.
Yeah, and as silly as it sounds, even going out to run normal daily errands, taking your kids to school, picking them up from sports, you're constantly moving throughout the day. And it doesn't seem like a big deal at the time until you're not doing it. You're just sitting all day. Those extra calories, activity that you normally would be doing just aren't there.
It's like a free Oreo if you just walk around.
What? I don't get that at all.
You walk around, you get 50 calories, you're like, oh, it's an Oreo.
Oh, got it. Nice. I guess you've banked the ability to eat an Oreo. Like one thing that sometimes, I mean, it just kind of made me think of that from you talking about it, is sometimes when I think about calories or energy or something like that, I like to think of fuel in a car. Right, which I know food is kind of like fuel and all those kind of things. We can kind of get into that later. But in general, the same idea where, you know, if you're even, like you said, going around town in different places, picking up these things and all that kind of stuff, you're expending that fuel, right? Just kind of like burning calories. If you're literally not even going out to your car to drive around, it's you're very rarely going to have to get fuel. So
or you're overfilling the gas tank by eating too much.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So interesting stuff there. With regards to like new technology, Joe, because I'm not very, like, again, with it technologically, or new with times. A lot of people have what, Fitbits or Apple Watches or whatever kind of cool things these kids are doing nowadays. these things that talk about how many steps people take, right? Or how many calories they're burning. I don't have any of those personally. What are some things that are data points from those, if you know much about it, and or things that might be different now?
Yeah. And I think the basic thing is like your daily steps. Even your phone will track it if you have your phone with you a lot. I do have an Apple Watch that tracks mine, but I think just getting in daily steps is probably the biggest takeaway, because calorie expenditure while you're working out is, you know, might not be the most accurate on a watch, but getting your steps in is. And, you know, it's recommended to get 7,000 to 10,000 steps a day. Okay. And so I use mine right now a lot for steps. And if I'm not at least 7,000 a day, then in the evening, I'm going on another walk, or literally I'm walking up and down my stairs, because for me, I want to see at least 7,000 a day. So I think technology wise, getting those steps in is probably the most important that you can take away from those.
So fun fact about getting steps, and I don't know if a lot of insurance companies do this, but my insurance company, if you got your steps in, and they would have kind of like a set average that you would get every day, you would get $1 a day for every day that you got your steps, and it would turn into like an Amazon gift card. And so I was able to, if I got my steps, I would cash it out and get like a free Amazon gift card just by walking my normal steps that I was supposed to.
That's pretty cool.
Look at your insurance.
Yeah, it's good. And because walking benefits are, I think, much larger than people think, because I think, oh, it's just walking, but really has a lot of good health benefits. So even a hospital that I used to work at gave all the nurses trackers. And if you had so many steps, and there would be like some kind of kickback money-wise to get all your steps in. And so all the nurses would walk around with trackers. And as a nurse, you rack up those steps really easily in a 12-hour shift. But I think it's a good idea to keep moving every day.
That's a good point. Nice. Yeah, and a lot of people, I think, kind of maybe didn't realize right now, they're starting to realize now that maybe their job was more active than they thought. You know, like ours, for example, like I knew we were active and we're always active as coaches because we're almost always on our feet, especially if it's a long day of coaching. They can be pretty draining, like even just my feet will ache if I'm walking around all the time, and we're demoing movement. We're not working out with the classes while we're coaching, but we're moving, we're being active, we're cruising around, we're helping, we're doing this, we're kind of always on our feet. But then you realize when you stop, you're like, oh, like, I didn't realize that. A lot of people that may have these jobs where they're at the top of the stairs and they do walk all the stairs because they're just in this habit of doing the right things. That stuff kind of goes down. So just interesting. So,
and it's true. And as funny as it sounds, when I have my watch on and I'm coaching, if I do like a Saturday, I do 3 days, I get in a lot of steps, and it actually tracks it as like a workout because I'm walking around, I'm demoing stuff. And so it picks up on that a lot. And as little as you think maybe we're doing during a class, when we're not doing it, we're losing out on like the extra movement and the walking, and, you know, yeah. So it's much different when you're just sitting at home, not doing what you don't think is a big deal, actually ends up being more than you think.
That's true. The, and even like, I guess like what you could say too, is that the real succession points for people are not doing things, like it's not just the workout, it's the long-term consistency, which is something like consistent activity or consistent burning or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that can kind of lead us into number two, essentially. That's what it is. So the first one was being active. Second best way to really limit weight gain is having a caloric balance, or balancing your calorie intake and outtake, essentially. Go off that show.
Yeah. So your BMR is your basal metabolic rate. That's just the calories you need to get up and function for your heart to pump, your lungs to, you know, work, and your body just to function on a normal basis. Then when you add activity into that, you do your normal workouts, you're at your job, you're moving around, you have a normal amount of calories you're taking in. They should kind of balance each other out. If you're wanting to lose weight, they'll be a bit lower. If you're wanting to gain muscle, they'll be a little bit higher. But if you're still eating the same amount and you're not moving around as much, that's where that weight gain will come on. And so if we are not in our daily routines right now and we're sitting a lot more, but we're still eating what we used to, then that's where we may run into some issues of that weight gain while we're here in isolation.
I've always had the, there's a really good analogy that I had a professor give us about basal metabolic rate. And kind of the gist of it is, say you were on a road trip, say here to San Francisco, and you had your tank of gas and you were really efficient and you drove the speed limit. Everything was nice and good. You drove like everyone should probably drive. You would probably get there on X many gallons of gas really efficiently. That could be your basal metabolic rate. But if you're like flooring it up hills and you're doing all this crazy stuff, that's more activity. So that's our daily activity, our exercise. We're going to run out of fuel sooner. So we're going to have to refuel. So we're using more gallons. So kind of the gist in basal metabolic rate, kind of the easy way to think of it is, I can get through the day on 1800 calories, but as soon as I start doing more things, I need more calories because I'm doing more activity. And that's always kind of something that that's stuck with me is, if I'm still, putting in a lot of gas, I'm going to overfill the gas tank. If I'm not putting in enough for my activity, I'm actually kind of dipping into that basal metabolic rate and I'm not getting enough calories for my day. I would say most people right now are probably eating more than not enough, unless, they are staying really active, but keeping that caloric balance is really important.
Yeah,
it's a good analogy.
That makes total sense. And the thing that always has stuck with me that I've seen a lot in sport, especially, is a good example, playing sports in college, playing soccer, especially for me, you're very active. Like I did one of our like exercise sports science type classes, and we had to track kind of how much we're burning. We were burning almost like 3,500 to 4,000 calories a day because we were training endurance wise and interval wise and multiple weightliftings and all that kind of stuff. So then eating for that is just like almost a chore, right? Just to keep enough of that on, like a lot of professional athletes do, or other high level athletes or swimmers or endurance or whatever it is. Right. But the thing that was interesting was like ACL tears, especially was not uncommon in soccer, especially for females. But the bigger challenge was when people would get injured like that for this long-term injury, a lot of them would keep eating the same way that they did prior. Just because of habits and how they've done things, and you would significantly see them gain weight. And this was the exact reason why. Am I right, Joe?
Yeah. So you're still eating what you used to, but you're not doing the activity to catch up with that. So yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that was
happens a lot.
Yeah.
So you see it. Well, you'll see it with other sports when they retire. Mm. I want to throw out football players or something. You have big linemen. They're used to eating a lot, right? But they're working out a lot, and then you stop that and that eating kind of, that's what they're used to, but the activity goes away. Then you see, I mean, it can happen in any sport. I use linemen just because they have to eat a lot to keep that weight on. And if you don't continue that exercise afterwards, that weight just, piles on.
It just gets on there. So is it something where, if you overeat 500 calories one day, you're already going to gain a pound? Or is it like, is it a long-term consistency that usually adds that in? Is it a single spike and then you can go down and be fine? Or like, what are the bigger things there?
Yeah, I think it's more over a long range. I don't think if you did it for a week, it would really affect you. But if you do it for months on end or years on end, that's when it catches up with you. Like one day of it, not going to do anything. Because there's a lot of things that go into when you weigh yourself. But I think it's more of a consistent thing. People continue to consistently eat at the level that they were at, but then the activity level, drops below. So it's more, I think, over time it would pile on.
So, go ahead, Cor.
I mean, I always kind of think of like nutrition and calories and everything. It needs to balance out to equal, right? Like we either need to do the activity to meet the calories we're eating or reduce calories to match what we're doing. It's like if you run up a bill on your credit card, you're eventually going to have to pay that back, right? Or you're going to sit there with a lot of debt. The same thing is if we ate 500 extra calories, at some point we're probably going to have to make up for that. We're going to have to do a little bit more work. And it may not take a day or a week, but eventually we'll see the effects of that extra food.
So again, kind of like you're saying, Cor, it's going to be, here's even to keep us kind of where we are currently, right? And that's different for everybody. Some people might have 10 extra pounds that they need to get rid of. So obviously, like, the caloric should be a little bit below the burn-ish levels, right? Within the right realms. And we'll talk about that in our last one, I guess. Or keep it steady. The ways to kind of keep those there are, if this is too high, like you're saying, increase the activity,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. Or if you can't increase the activity, kind of decrease here.
Yeah, and I mean, Jolene works with a lot of clients, and that was just like the basics of like a caloric deficit is you reduce the calories, keep the activity, and you'll slowly lose weight. And there's ranges of what's healthy and what's unhealthy, but that's, you know, the very basics of weight loss. And the same thing as weight gain is if you increase calories and keep your activity the same, you're going to gain weight.
Right.
So it's a pretty simple formula, but it's, you know, it's a lot harder than just saying that though. There's other nutritional factors and people's bodies yeah, and stuff like
for
that.
For sure.
Right. Question, Joe, like with regards to like the FDA, and they generally regulate like on like a nutrition label about a 2000 calorie diet. How realistic is that percentage wise for a lot of people you see? Is it not like anything?
Yeah. There? And I'll be honest, I don't know where they got the 2000 calories. I think that's kind of an average. Go ahead, Corey, if you know, okay. Pipe in.
Corey's chiming.
That yeah. is the average basal metabolic rate of an average human. And I don't know the exact height weight ratio, but
body fat
I think that's
position.
For men.
It is. Yeah. And it breaks yeah. down into, I think it's 1 calorie per minute for 24 hours. I'd have yeah. to check
yeah.
the math.
So that, yeah, because 2000 okay. calories, I think, is more of a man-based one. Whereas when I do a yeah. lot of in-bodies on females, their BMRs, you know, aren't anywhere near 2000 calories. But I think that's more of a guideline for an adult male. You know, everyone's calories are going to vary. Women typically take in less than men just because of weight and height. So yeah, I mean, everyone's a little bit different. So when they use that 2000 calories, I think that's based more on an adult male, kind of more so than a female.
Another interesting thing about labels too is like the daily value percentages, like vitamin C and stuff like that. What's interesting is it's based on like the minimum to keep you healthy. So like if I'm like, oh, I'm getting 100% of my daily vitamin C, I'm not pushing myself into health. I'm actually just getting the bare minimum to prevent like scurvy or, you know, like chronic diseases or things that could happen if you don't have that.
So essentially they set the bar very low.
Yeah, it's literally
as low as they could rather than setting it high.
Yeah, it's the bare minimum you should have to not have like deficiencies. Granted, you can fat soluble and water soluble vitamins, there's ones that you can take too much of and be toxic, but like overall those are just general like bare minimums.
The side note too, or not side note, but kind of talking about basal metabolic rate and these things, and this is, you guys can correct me because you guys are both smarter than I am in this realm. From what I've understood with doing a lot of body composition testing with people, even at the beginning of my CrossFit years, is that it's mainly based on lean mass, am I right? Or muscle mass. And that is what actually determines how you calorically burn or how you burn calories naturally, as opposed to fat, which is a byproduct, which just sits there and doesn't burn any energy. So essentially, if you are able to develop a better musculature, muscle mass, you're almost more efficiently metabolizing and burning these calories. Am I right?
Yeah. The more muscle mass you have, it's said to burn more calories at rest.
Right.
So yes. The more muscular you are, the more calories you just burn throughout the day because, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, kind of a good side example is Christian Frost, Dave Frost's son. He was a lineman. He was a football player.
That's why I pulled that out.
He's trying to get down to like, I think like 225 or like maybe even a little bit lighter than that, which if you've ever seen him, he's 6'6", 6'7". He's like a big guy, really strong. Yeah. Like I couldn't imagine him at that weight, but for him to maintain like the weight that he was at, he would have to eat an insane amount of calories a day. And I haven't seen him in a while, but he's cut down his calories. He keeps exercising. He's lost a good amount of weight, but probably to a healthier weight for him. So there is probably a threshold, you know, of too much muscle mass it's a lot of work to maintain that. And it takes a lot of stress on your body.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. My husband has a good friend who was a lineman in college. He was in the upper 200s to play. And afterwards, he was a bigger guy, but same as Christian, he took his calories down and he worked out in a different way. And now he does Ironmans. I mean, wow. He used to be a huge lineman. Now he's like 100 pounds lighter and does Ironman. So it's all in what you're eating. You know what I mean? He was eating a lot to maintain that weight to be a football player. But then afterwards, you don't, you know, need all those calories. So, yeah.
It's a lot of stress on your body too, being high 200s.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, well, let's move that right into our third one, third best way, and that kind of all segues in for some of the stuff we've been talking about with the caloric balancing, is quality of food, right? So as much as we can talk about caloric intake and outtake, I mean, I'm burning 2,000 calories a day, and all I'm eating is 1,800 calories of Oreos, I'm not sure it's all going to go that well. You might be able to give me better tips on that, Jolene.
Well, what if it fits your macros?
Exactly, right? Joe, let's go off quality of food.
That's a crazy topic. You know, a lot of people think, well, if I'm eating in my macros and I'm eating pizza and Oreos, I should be losing weight. And if there's certain people that would say that's scientifically, it seems like it should work that way, but really for your body, you don't digest the food and your body doesn't use them in the same way as if it was a lean protein and veggies. So I think quality of food is important because your body is going to metabolize it and use it better than if you're eating that many calories in junk food. So as far as we talk about calorie balance, that is true to an extent, but the food you're eating is really important because your body is going to utilize it, either store it or burn it in a different way than if it's just taking in a bunch of processed high carb, high sugar type of food. So quality is definitely important when you're considering all of this.
Okay. What do you think is more important, quality or quantity?
That's always a big topic of debate.
That's a really
right?
hard question to answer.
It is a hard one to answer. I think quality is great. Can you overeat quality food and still gain weight? Of course. But I think you can eat more quality food and not do that than if you're eating a bunch of processed foods and doing that. So that's always a topic of debate.
Quality food.
It usually is, right?
Yeah. I mean,
well, it's harder to eat quality. Yeah. No one's going to sit down and eat, 3,000 calories worth of vegetables. That's why when you eat more quality food, you usually don't overeat as much because you overeat when it tastes really good and your body craves it, like pizza or cookies or whatever. You typically don't overeat on chicken and broccoli. I mean, because you really don't want to overeat that because it's not as exciting, I guess. So I think quality's there almost to kind of keep you in balance with how much you would eat. And if you're eating a good high quality fat with your meals, you stay full longer. So you're not likely to want to overeat. But once again, you could eat a ton of great food and have too much of it. It's, I think, just harder to do than highly processed foods.
I think what a lot of people, and maybe it's just guys, but people that are, they're trying to eat healthy food and they think like, if I just pack in some protein and just more and more protein, like it's better because it's satiating, right?
Love that.
You can overeat protein. It's still calories.
Oh yeah.
It's
caloric intake.
Yeah.
Right. And that's where there's like a combo. There's like caloric intake, but there's also the types of food you're eating. If you sat down and ate, chicken and broccoli and a healthy fat, you're going to stay full longer and not really be as up to want to snack right away as if you just sat down and had some Oreos and chips. You're going to be hungry sooner. And it could have been the same amount of calories that you ate, but the quality of the food is going to keep you full longer. So you really don't need to feel like you go back and eat right away an hour or two later.
That's true. Very true. You know, what's interesting too, is that I've noticed too, is when, let's say hypothetically, I'm eating the healthier meal, the broccoli, chicken, and a little bit of avocado with it or something like that, or a handful of nuts, is after those meals, I feel athletic or like feel healthy and like able to have energy and these types of things. And the other ones, you feel the complete opposite.
Yeah.
It's really interesting kind of, I mean, it's how it's supposed to be, but it's interesting how that works.
Yeah. Cause usually those foods are higher sugar, higher carbs, and those you burn through quicker. And then they leave you, kind of void of energy. Whereas the other foods are built to sustain your energy, your feeling of fullness, and the processed foods just don't, your body doesn't utilize it like it would healthy food, and that's why calories and food quality is important, because those other foods, you're going to digest a lot different and they're going to make you feel usually worse. So that's where that quality comes in.
Definitely. Corey, how's your quality of food?
My quality of food's not bad. I mean, it could be better. Like I was joking earlier, yesterday was Sarah's mom's birthday and they sent me home with like 10 cupcakes. And I was like, I can't eat all these. And so I have like 10 cupcakes sitting there and I'll probably have like one and then I don't really know what to do with the rest of them. So yeah. I try to like eat generally the best I can. I usually have, eat a lot of like couscous and then vegetables and then put in some protein, whether it's, I usually switch between like chicken or ground beef or tuna. And, but it's my kind of my, like my lazy go-to is like couscous, steamed vegetables, a protein, and usually like a little bit of hummus in there. And so the fairly rounded meal that I know I can like without thinking go to and make, and it's pretty balanced. I think if people had some of those kind of like staples in their repertoire, you know, in their cooking, that without thinking, they know they can whip something together and they'll get their macro balance and a good portion. Then it's an easier decision than like, oh, I have a frozen pizza in the freezer. I can just put that in. So something quick, something easy, I think is pretty useful for some people.
So also like, I feel like it's kind of on the quality of food thing, but I know a lot of people have talked about how that snacking is a big issue right now. If they're kind of like always around, is there some good solutions to that, Jolene, things that you'd recommend?
Yeah. I mean, it depends on the reason they're snacking and they're
losing you.
Can you hear me?
There, we got you.
Okay. I think it's based on why they're snacking. I think right now it's a lot of boredom. It just takes up time and it's kind of comforting. Snacking sometimes is if you're not eating a proper meal before. Like I said, if you're eating some processed foods, yeah, you're going to think you're hungry 2 hours later. But if you're eating a whole well-balanced meal, you probably won't be hungry. So I think we're now more so it's just boredom. People are looking for something to do and it wastes time and it's comforting and yeah. So I think solutions to that, it varies. Comes to play in kind of being mindful of why you're snacking. If it's out of boredom, then try to find more activities that you can do. Go take a walk, drink some water. I think being more occupied and having things throughout the day will kind of keep you out of the kitchen more.
Good point. And then maybe even on the quality of food discussion, if you're snacking on quality of food, that it will keep you full a little bit longer. You need less of it. And then it maybe
true. So if you're eating a meal that has a good amount of protein and healthy fats, you should be able to go to four to five hours until your next meal. If you're eating something that's very more carb based and doesn't have a good fat in it and not a lot of protein, you're going to be hungry sooner. Then on the flip side of that, think about the snacks you're eating, like try not to snack on chips or fast processed foods. Try to pull out like veggies, hummus is a good one, Corey. Fruits, nut butters, you know, try to make, if you are going to snack, then try to pick better quality snacks over the, you know, quick cupboard chips and cookies.
So when I go backpacking, every day you have to carry X amount of calories. So if you know you're going to burn about 2000 calories or 2500 calories, you bring enough for each day to get that many and not carry too much or too little. I go as far as I put each day in an individual Ziploc bag. So I know within that bag, I have 2000 calories and I have meals and I have snacks. It's meal prepping, right? It's a transportable meal prep. You could go as far as doing meal prepping at home. You could have like breakfast, lunch, and dinner if you want to go ahead and cook and separate all those, but also you could portion out snacks too. You could have little Ziploc baggies of, all right, if I am going to have pretzels, I'm only having this little bit of it. And that's my only thing. And I'm going to dip it in a nut butter or hummus. And that'll keep you from just grabbing the big bag of chips and just sit there until they're gone. So portioning, just pre-portioning before you even have a chance of thinking about it. You just know that if you grab that, that's your snack for that day. And that's what you're going to get. That's always helped me out. That's actually, I mean, I kind of grew up that way too. We kind of had snacks that were always pre-portioned in a way. So it was just, you know, that's what you grab and that's what you get type thing.
Yeah. So a good idea sometimes is just taking those little snack bags and say like a helping of almonds is a quarter cup or a third cup. You just take that, put it in a bag and seal it. And then if you do like 10 of those or whatever, then you've got like ready-made snacks that are portioned out and a little bit easier to control. rather than opening up a whole bag of trail mix and just kind of going to town.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Cor, finish up.
It forces you to kind of round out a little bit healthier snack too, because if I open a bag of almonds and I sit there and eat 2 cups of almonds, I just ate a lot of fats, not a lot of protein, pretty much no carbs.
Yeah.
Or I grab some of those. I'm like, oh, let me grab something else for a snack. And I grab an apple or, you know, whatever. And it makes you grab a little more variety too, instead of just one item that you're going to kind of overindulge in.
Yep.
So Jolene, I know you work with different nutrition clients, mm-hmm. in different areas and stuff like that. How are some people doing on this? Are people moving well? Do you have any examples of things? Are people struggling hard? Like, what's the biggest difference?
Yeah. I think I've got a split. I've got a good amount of people that are struggling because they're eating too much. They're snacking too much. I'm going to throw this in there. They're having too much sugar and alcohol has been a couple of complaints. Then I have people on the flip side that have really turned this around and impressed me in the way that they're like, I've got all this time right now. There's no reason I can't cook healthy for myself and work out. And I've had a number of clients in the past month that have lost about 10 pounds because I don't know there's another time in history where we've all been shut off, except for people that I totally get, the hospital workers, the doctors, you know, they're going off and doing their normal day. The rest of us are sitting at home and there's no real reason that we don't have the time to take for ourselves. Like, we should come out of this actually healthier. If you look at it more on the positive spin, you know, we don't have the stress of all of the outside things we normally do. We're not running kids everywhere. There's probably jobs we're not going to. If we can turn this around and say, hey, I've got another month of this, there's no reason I can't make healthy meals for myself and work out and actually come out of this healthier than I would have, instead of sitting around going, that's really boring, I've got nothing to do, I'm just going to eat. It's kind of like the mindset you want to take. So I've had some people go to the extreme of already losing a good amount of weight because they're taking this time for themselves, and I've had some people that have struggled. So it's gone both ways. But I think it's kind of all how you look at the situation. If you take it away, like, I'm going to focus on me because I now have the time to do it. I'm going to prep good meals and I'm going to work out and I want to be healthier when this is over. I mean, it's kind of how you look at it.
You think they've taken a different mindset approach or a different schedule approach?
Or structure, I think it's been both. You know, most of my clients I work with are at home. I don't really think I have any that are going out to jobs right now. And so the ones that are doing well, I think, are getting themselves on a better schedule of being home. I have one client who is running a lot. I've given them home workouts to do, and they're eating well. Those are the successful ones. I think the ones that are not having as much success are kind of struggling with them not having a schedule, and they still haven't settled into this is, you know, our current situation for probably, you know, at least another month. So the ones that are doing well, I think, are getting themselves on a schedule and having a different mindset about it. And the ones that are having a hard time just quite haven't grasped that yet.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I think that's the perfect place to kind of finish it out, Joe. That's perfect way to word it and kind of go about it. These are times that we can control certain areas and literally come out of this in a better place than before. Just utilize it to our advantage as much as we can. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys. Hope you guys got some great tips, info on the best ways to limit weight gain in a time, and this time or in all times, actually. Corey, Jolene, thank you guys for the awesome stuff. If you guys got any other things we can help with, by all means, hit us up and we'll do everything we can to help.
Thanks again for listening to The Reform Way. You can find us on our social media channels. Our Instagram is @CrossFitReform. Our Facebook is CrossFitReform. And you can listen to more of these podcasts on any of the major streaming services such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, any of the major apps, and Buzzsprout.